Selling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's time for Talking with TD.
Touchdown, Tennessee!
The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Teron Davenport.
Put up a shut-up term.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Here we go. That's right. You are now talking with TD. I am your host, Teron Davenport. Calvin Smith, making things happen, making this show sound like music in your ears. We're going to get into, of course, Combine. There are some prospects that you definitely have to watch out for. We're going to get into a bunch of stuff. I got a special guest this week. You know, it's just like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. You got to phone a friend, right, when you're in trouble. And this is a time where I'm not in trouble. I just want all the help that I could get because I want to bring you guys top-notch content, let you guys know just what is really going on with some of these prospects. We're going to go over some cornerbacks. We're going to go over some receivers. I got my man Brandon Howard from Florida. He is a guy from Miami, actually. He's down there, and he's someone that we've together evaluated countless numbers of players. We both had the same love for Stephon Diggs coming out, and he was a fifth-round pick, but we had him up really high. He was actually Brandon's number one receiver that year, so without any further ado, Brandon, what's going on, man?
Nothing much, man. Thank you so much for having me on. This is a long time in the making.
You ain't lying. That is the truth. And before we get into everything, I just want to give the folks a little bit of background on you. I've said it on social media. I've told you in text, man, Father of the Year candidate, man. You got two sons that you really have some awesome things going on with. You know, Malachi doing his thing, Nehemiah playing quarterback, and
yes, sir.
They were actually featured. Nehemiah was featured, well, part of a feature on Lamar Jackson and the impact that he's had. So I think that's awesome just to see, you know, a father really doing the things that he is supposed to do and pushing his sons to greatness.
I appreciate that, man. You're too kind, brother. I appreciate it.
Hey, look, man, you got to call a spade. And along those lines, another thing I just wanted, go ahead and give them a little bit of your background, how you got into this. Why your football acumen is so precise? It's surgical.
Oh man, I appreciate that. Well, I played a little football. Played football in college, West Virginia University, and then just from there on, developed a passion for the game. And when the playing days are over, I still really wanted to be a part of the game. So kind of dove into sports journalism a little bit. And I started covering the game of football, started with Sports Talk Florida, doing some work with them, covering Miami Dolphins. Then that went on to covering the Dolphins again for USA Today. I also covered some high school sports here in South Florida for the Sun Sentinel. So, football is my passion, and anything and everything football, that's my jam. That's what I want to do.
And folks, Brandon has a track background too. It was long jump, right?
Long jump and sprints.
Yeah.
Did them both.
Yeah. So I'm sure you could kind of get an idea of the type of guys that he likes on the football field. We'll get into that in a little bit. But before we do, you're down there in Miami. There's a quarterback that the Titans had last year, and they're considering bringing him back. Ryan Tannehill. You've seen him for over 2 years, I had 2 years at the very least. What is your take on what's going on with him now and what happened to allow him to become the quarterback that he was last year with the Titans?
Yeah, I think that, the beginning of what we see now with Ryan Tannehill was the 2016 season, was just before the knee injury that he suffered against the Cardinals. And I think that Adam Gase was really just at that point trying to figure out what exactly are Ryan Tannehill's strengths, right? And I'll never forget, Gase, we had one of those, the embargo press conferences where, they kind of talk very candidly about the players and what their plans are and what they would like to do with the players, right? And I feel like that's kind of around the time things started kind of crystallizing for Gase about how to utilize him. And so before Tannehill got hurt, hurt the ACL against the Cardinals, or injured the ACL, He was at 2,995 yards, 19 touchdowns versus 12 interceptions. And the thing that, that Gase said is that, you know, I'm not going to really rely on Tannehill to orchestrate the offense. I'm going to rely on my run game, and I'm going to allow him or have him hit a couple key shots during the game to move the offense down the field or to put points on the board, you know, when it matters most. So he was relying on Tannehill to be able to do those things. And I think that, you know, and I say all that about the 2016 season to bring you here, right? So now you have Vrabel, and I think that he was able to kind of borrow that blueprint a little bit from Gase. So what you see now is a guy that can come off play action, and this is not a knock on Tannehill by any means. I don't want anyone listening to this to say this is a knock on him. It's not, because I feel like one of the hardest things to do as a quarterback is to be turning around, handing the ball off here and there, not really getting the ball vertically down the field, and then all of a sudden your coach calls your number to hit a shot down the field. And that's like pulling a player off of the bench to in an NBA game, you know, with 3 seconds left to hit a three-pointer. You know, a guy is cold. It's not an easy thing to do. So to me, that's one of the hardest things to do as a quarterback. So that's a credit to Ryan Tannehill. You know, and I feel like that's really kind of the strength of his game. So now you see that the success, you know, that the Titans had towards the tail end of the season, relying on that run game, then hitting a couple key play action shots down the field when it matters, and when the numbers, you know, in the secondary really favor them, you know, then that's really what the Titans were able to do and kind of hang their hat on as the season went along. And, you know, you see the efficiency there as the season went along just kind of kept increasing. So, you know, what did he do? He, you know, completed 70% of his passes this season, right? You know, that's three more. And then he had three more touchdowns. Then he had, what, 22 touchdowns, something like that. Yeah, so that's three more 22. Than he had in that 2016 season in less games. So, yeah. Well, I mean, that's, you know, an 117 QBR. Which is good. So I mean, he's been even improved upon his efficiency. And I think that Vrabel was able to kind of get a little bit of a head start because he was able to see what Gase was doing with him towards the tail end of his time there in Miami.
And it's funny because basically what you described is a game manager, right? And
correct. And
I remember asking Vrabel about that, and he got into it a little bit. I asked Tannehill about that. I said, what are your thoughts? How do you feel about the game manager label? And I remember he just smiled and he knew what I was getting at. And he was like, right. I don't care what it is. I just like to win football games. And that's exactly what they did. You look at
execute.
Two games that stood out the most to me are the playoff games, right? The Patriots game and the Ravens game. And they did exactly what you said. That play action post that he threw to Khalif Raymond, and then that ball to Jonnu Smith against the Ravens. Those were beautiful throws. He didn't throw it much, but when he had to, he gashed them. So
exactly.
That being said, John Robinson, he has about $50 million to work with. And you have various free agents, two of which are Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill.
Right.
And you have this new wave of football mind, which, you know, relies on formulas and algorithms and all of these things to tell you that running the football isn't good. But these are the same ones who applauded the Titans for what they did last year, so I don't get it. But that being said, they also feel like the running back shouldn't be paid, right? So you don't give a running back big money.
Yeah, and that's silly.
That's a whole nother conversation, but with Ryan Tannehill, knowing that you have this amount of money to work with, you have these particular needs that you need to address, what do you do contract-wise? I mean, is he someone that you go $28 million a year for? Is he someone that you guarantee $60 million over 3 years? Like, what do you do with Tannehill?
Right. You know, I think that, you know, a lot of people get caught up in, when it comes to contract numbers, they get caught up in what the total amount is. I like to kind of focus on what the real money is. And, you know, if you want to give them, you know, somewhere around like 20, 28 million, that's guaranteed, you know, and he's not a by any stretch of the imagination, he's not done. You know, he's what, 31 years old now?
Yeah.
Something to, yeah. So, I mean, yeah, if you want to give him, you know, about $28 million, somewhere around that range, I think that that's perfectly doable. And you go ahead and resign him, because I like the chemistry that he built with those players.
Yes.
You don't want to start all over again, you know, with that, and have a whole offseason trying to recreate what you had in the tail end of that season. Sometimes, you know, you insert another cog into that machine and it just doesn't work the same. So the very thing that I credited Ryan Tannehill for, as far as being able to kind of just not really be much of a part of a game, handing the ball off all game long, and all of a sudden being asked to hit that shot down the field, maybe the next quarterback can't really do that.
Yeah.
You know, so you definitely want to have a guy that you know, you left off on a high note last season. You want to start where you left off for the most part and build upon that. And I like the chemistry he's got with Brown. You know, I like the chemistry that he's got with Jonnu Smith. And then you've got the run game. You know, you really want to concentrate on building upon that run game, and then having the offense flow through that run game. That's the biggest thing. And when you can dominate a team based on just what you do with the run game, then, you know, and no matter how many people they put in the box, you know, or whatever it is, then that's really what you want, you know, on your offense. When you can run the ball at will, and you can stop the run on the other side, that's winning football.
Yeah, and a big part of that to me, and it's something that's going underrated, but you see Tannehill doing it, the ability to always keep them in really good situations. And this was something
Absolutely.
That always stood out to me about Alex Smith. And if you ask me, Alex Smith and Ryan Tannehill are the same player.
Oh, yeah, very similar. Very similar.
It's just being able to check out of this and check into that, and next thing you know, it's a long run or it's a whatever. And that's
right.
Something that I think is underrated about his game, and they didn't get from the previous quarterback, and it's good to see that for this team. So
absolutely.
We could get into Ryan Tannehill a little bit more, but it's combine time. So I absolutely
right.
have to get your take, because I mentioned some of the free agents that they may have to, you know, have decisions on. Logan Ryan is one of them. So if they don't bring him back, there are going to be some cornerbacks that they're going to have to definitely take a look at. I think they should do it regardless. So we're going to go ahead and go to a break, and we're going to come back and talk corners. But before we pay these bills, folks, Google Podcasts, Spotify, iTunes, whatever it is you listen to podcasts on, Talking with WITHTD. Be sure to search that, subscribe. Let's get those 5 stars too. Please and thank you. We'll be right back.
Hey, man, this is Kevin Byard, and I'm talking with TD.
All right, so we're back from the break. A little old school hip hop. You know, sometimes I just like to go to the Chief Rocker, so we'll bring that up. Lords of the Underground, you know what I'm saying. We're going to continue this conversation. Now we're going to shift to the cornerbacks. And as I mentioned, Brandon Howard is a guy we together, you know, really spotlighted and honed in on Stephon Diggs when he came out. But
right.
one of the corners that I see in different mock drafts, I'll admit it, like I'm a mock draftaholic on the Draft Network, you know what I mean? I love going on there and doing their draft simulator, and I keep seeing Trevon Diggs there when I do the mock. So tell me a little bit about him. Why is he a guy that you feel is a fit and a guy that we need to talk about when it comes to the Titans?
Right. So, you know, when it comes to the cornerbacks that I like, cornerbacks that you like, you know, we talk about this all the time. One common thing, you know, that you'll find amongst all these guys that we're going to talk about is ball skills.
Yep.
You know, all of them can find the ball. I really don't have, when I'm watching film of a cornerback, I don't really have a lot of patience for a guy that just will not locate the football or refuses to turn his head and find the football. And that's one thing I like about Trevon is the ball skills. That's what stands out. And, you know, you got to look at it. And what he did before becoming a cornerback, he was a receiver.
Mm-hmm.
He was a receiver over there at Alabama. He had 11 receptions for 88 yards and a touchdown in 2016. You know, so he's made this conversion, right, to corner. And he's got the speed to travel with anyone down the field. You know, he does a good job, and, you know, from what I've seen, does a good job of cluing. That means looking at the splits, kind of knowing what to anticipate down in and down out, looking at the distance, you know, matching and anticipating patterns, you know, and that's what you want to see. And that's the advantage of being a receiver in the past, right? Because you kind of know what the offensive guy is thinking because you've been in his shoes. And that's why I like guys that have kind of made that conversion, because, you know, they kind of know what the receiver is thinking. They know what the offense is thinking. So they can anticipate a little bit better. And one thing I think, you know, that he may need to kind of hone in on and flesh out a little bit in his game is that, as a former receiver, he's been used to going forward, right? Mm-hmm. He hasn't had to backpedal much, turn around, transition. So that's one thing he's going to have to hone in on and do a little bit better, is just try to, you know, flesh out his footwork and his transition from his backpedal to running downfield. So that's it, just the footwork, you know. But other than that, I think his upside is tremendous because he's relatively new to the position. So, you know, I think he's going to have a heck of an NFL career. Maybe a guy that ends up, and he already had a very good college career, but he may be a guy that ends up having a better NFL career than he did in college.
Now, you know, being a part of football game plan, we always say size is not a skill. But
right.
His size is different from the other couple guys we're going to mention. So when you're talking about a guy at 6'2", 200-plus, wherever he should come in at, does that – necessarily with his movement skills and how he is, does that necessarily lock him down to only a guy that lines up on the outside?
Oh, absolutely not. You know, and that's the thing. It's being able to kind of move and groove with your receiver. You're going to need to be able to change directions exceptionally well. And I don't think he's going to be strictly outside. If he needs to move inside, I believe he's a guy that can do that. Mm-hmm. So it's just a matter of, again, just honing in on that footwork and working on that, getting that down, and getting more consistent with it. Once he gets that and gets the nuances of the position, I think the kid's going to be phenomenal.
Now, speed kills, and we know that.
Right.
The next couple guys got plenty of speed. I want to get into, because we talked about moving inside and playing that nickel. I think one of the top nickel guys in this draft is Darnay Holmes. And it's funny, every time I say that name, I almost say Darnay Scott. You know, it's just
right.
Always thinking about receivers.
That's the old school injury, man. Darnay Scott, that was a minute ago.
Yo, Darnay Scott, Carl Pickens, you know what I mean?
Oh,
when
man.
Those guys
what
were rolling.
Tandem. What a tandem.
With Jeff Blake and Corey Dillon, my goodness, man.
They could move that football down the field.
One of the teams I used to use in Madden. But that being said, I don't want to steal the shine from UCLA cornerback Darnay Holmes. We know
right.
He could run. I'm sure you watched the Alabama game where he lined up in the slot, you know, over top of the slot as a nickel guy and ran with Marquise Brown. I'm sure you saw him in that game. I love how he could body up against bigger receivers, like when you talk about the Arizona State game against Akil Harry.
Yes.
So it's obvious I really like him, but what made you want to bring him into this conversation as well?
Man, fluidness in the footwork. That was the first thing I noticed about him. I mean, there's literally no hesitation or pause in between, you know, his transition. That's what I really like about this kid. That's the first thing that stood out to me. And then the longer I watched him, you see that competitor, that dog in him.
Yes.
And that's what I really liked about him. You know, he's a willing tackler. You don't see that kid go backwards much. You know, so there's a lot of fight in him. I really like the way he plays football. And, you know, so even though there's a perceived lack of size, he's what, 5'10", 192, that's decent size. You know, people going to look at that and say that's short. That's not short. That's good size. And, you know, I really like the fact that also he adds value to the return game, too.
Yes.
So, you know, he's a feisty guy. I think that if he had to in a pinch, he could play outside, you know. So, I mean, you look at a guy – down here in Bobby McCain, right?
Mm.
There was occasion that he had the man up outside on a couple guys, you know, before he made the move to safety this year, and he was predominantly known as a nickel guy, but he had to go outside sometimes. And I feel like this guy can do that the same thing if need be. The one thing that I feel like he needs to do a little bit better, he needs to play with his eyes a little bit more. And he needs to know where his help is on a consistent basis. So just studying the game, knowing where your help is, don't fall for the little things, the little subtle, you know, tricks here and there. Just, you know, pay attention to detail. And if he can do that, you're looking at a kid that's going to be a starter in the NFL at some point.
And that's the thing. If you're playing that nickel position, you absolutely, that's where it's it's crucial to know where your help is. That's a good
Absolutely.
Point there.
Absolutely.
When you say lining up on the outside in a pinch if need be, you know, I think of different corners that have been outsized. But again, we go back to the dog in them. What is it about fighting through the tuck? You know, fighting the receiver to all the way through the tuck to when you're defending the pass.
Right. It ain't over. That's the thing. You know, your guy might have position. Your guy may be bigger than you. But at some point, he's got to bring that ball down. You know, the receivers are tall. You know, you get it at its highest point and you rip it down, right? And you got to fight through that. And I feel like he's the type of kid that just does not give up on the play. So even when it's over, he's still scrapping the call and he's even past the whistle. As the coach says, the echo of the whistle, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like he's the kid that gives you that down in and down out. So if you want a competitor and a kid that's going to fight down in and down out, that when I watch him on film, you see that from him. That definitely comes through the TV screen, like, rather quickly.
And what about character? Because you've been out here and you've talked to a lot of guys, you know, at the combine. And that's one of the things I always like, you know, that you're able to do is you could read their character. When you have
body
a guy.
And
yeah, body language, exactly.
Right.
And the fire and just the tone of their voice. When you challenge them on things, like, hey, what makes you more than just a track guy playing football? I love asking that question.
Right.
But when you got a guy like Darnay Holmes, so you take him, doing research on him, one of his friends when they were 15, one of his friends was shot and killed, you know, and it's something that obviously he had to work through. But it's almost like it gives some of these guys a different purpose.
Absolutely.
You I remember had, you know, conversation, what was it, Deshaun Watson, I think it was, that you talked to?
Yeah, Deshaun, there's a couple guys. I mean, I've had the privilege of speaking to Lamar. A lot of these guys are just, they go through things, you know, and a lot of that, you know, and it's, you hate to see young men have to go through certain things, but it almost gives them a little bit more fire than everybody else on that field, you know, and I feel like when you have people who have been battle tested, not just on the football field, but in life, and that adversity, it just carries them to an entirely different level. And they're willing to go to certain lengths that other players won't go to get what they want and to get the desired result. So when you talk about kids that have really seen some hardships and had some adversity, those are typically the kids that you want to, you know, that you know are going to be successful.
Yeah.
If they can just get in the classroom, know what they're supposed to do down in and down out, study the film, know the tape, know what their opponent's tendencies are, everything else is going to be fine because they're going to compete harder than most people out there on that field.
Yeah, and the other thing is it always seems to give them the ability to keep things in perspective. Like Deshaun Watson.
Absolutely.
No moment is ever too big for him, and understandably so, with all that he's been through. I think that's going to be the same thing with Jalen Hurts, you know.
Absolutely.
Whereas I don't think a moment's going to be too big for him because he's seen basically all of it. So,
absolutely.
That's Jordan Love, too. I mean, his father committed suicide. Like, that's – these guys are weathered for the storm. You know, they're ready
to
go.
Right.
The last guy –
and you see it.
Yeah, you could definitely see it. And now the last guy that I want to talk about – and you mentioned dogs, right? And I'll tell you, when it comes to press, I don't know if there's a guy who's more of a dog than this next guy, and that's Jeff Gladney from TCU.
Right.
What do you like about him? What stands out?
I love him. Another kid that's not going to shy away from a tackle. And he's a big bodied guy. I remember, you know what, when I watch him, and I'm not saying he's this guy, but it's hard not to think of this guy because of what I experienced when I was covering the Dolphins with Xavier Howard, right? So I remember when Vance Joseph, when he was in Miami, and he championed Xavier coming to Miami. He was leading that charge. He wanted this guy, and when he was available in the second round, I thought he would be there in the second round. Vance was shocked. And so the thing that bothered me a little bit about Xavier Howard was, you know, you see a guy that, you know, he can travel with anybody down the field. He's not getting burnt. He anticipates the routes extremely well. But the thing that bothered me was I saw a guy that was kind of T-stepping out of his breaks, right? Yeah. Not speed turning, but T-stepping. So he's a little slower out of his breaks than most people. And I'm like, what? And so I asked Vance about that. And he just kind of shook his head. He was like, nah, man. He's like, he's going to be fine. Some guys T-step, some guys speed turn, but he's going to be fine. He loved Xavier Howard, right? So if anybody gets credit for what you see in Xavier Howard today, it's Vance, right? So when I look at this kid, I immediately think of Xavier. He's kind of a bigger guy. You see him kind of T-step out of his breaks a little bit. But he's a guy that if you know what to do with him in a defense, he's going to be perfectly fine. And I think he's got more than enough athleticism to kind of travel with anybody down the field vertically if necessary. But I think he's best served in a vision defense where he can kind of keep everything in front of him a little bit. That's more so his game. But, man, if you ask him to get his hands on somebody, you know, and reroute them, he could do that. He can play off if need be as well. But my lone concern with him is that I would like to see him kind of convert some of those tip passes into picks, yeah. Right? Get their arrivals a step earlier. Trust yourself. Trust what you're seeing. Get there a step earlier and make the play, right? Because he's clearly seeing it. I just want to see him to see it a bit faster to make the play.
And before we go further, I know what you're talking about when you say T-step, but I want to make sure right. that this show resonates with everybody, not just, you know, the technical guys. So
right.
what exactly do you mean by T-step, and why does that take away that brief moment as far as that millisecond of being able to close on the football?
Right, so it's kind of more so of like a deceleration step so you can turn. You want to see a guy, you know, speed turn and speed cut and get around to make the play out of a break, but there's a brief pause there to kind of reset, gain your balance, and then accelerate out of the cut. And that's what you see with Gladney, and that's what I saw with Xavier, which kind of gave me pause. I kind of learned my lesson from that, and I'm applying it to him, and I think that this kid's going to be just fine.
And just when you look at this, right, everybody knows Jeff Okuda, right? He's the guy that everybody says is the number one. You
right.
mentioned these three guys. When you look at pick number 29, if the Titans were to go corner, let's say these three guys are available, as well as Cam Dantzler. I love Cam Dantzler's game. I really like his game. Terrell Buckley coached him, so you know he's going to be technical.
Oh, you know he's good.
Yeah.
You know he's a good shape.
But you mentioned him, or let's say Noah Igbinoghene, a jumper and sprinter like yourself.
Right.
What would you do if all those guys are available and you had to take a corner?
That's a tough one, man. That's a tough one. You're talking about at the 29th spot?
At 29, yeah.
At 29? My pick, if I had between the three that we just spoke of, I would go with Diggs. And that's because there's so much that untapped potential there. And I know potential gets a lot of people fired, but I would be too hard-pressed to you know, just kind of leave that on the table. I would look so forward to working with a kid like that. He's got the burst. He's got the speed. He's got the hands. He's a former receiver. And you know that he can cover anybody if he just learns the game a little bit and just continues to hone in on the little nuances with footwork.
And I tell you what, I had Henry Ruggs. We started our draft series with Henry Ruggs III on here. And he said, actually, that Diggs was the toughest corner he faced. And I tried to get him out of it. I was like, hey, listen, I'm not talking about somebody other than your team. He said, no, Diggs is the toughest. So there you have it right there.
I believe it.
All right, so that's the cornerbacks. We're going to go to a break, and we're going to come back and get into the wide receivers. This is going to be fun. It's been a great show so far, so stay tuned. We will be right back.
This is J.M. Brown, and you're now talking with TD.
At night, I can't sleep.
Yeah, that's right. You hear it. The Ghetto Boys' minds playing tricks on me. That's what we do, man. We throw it back, right? And along those throwback lines, I'm going to throw it back and talk some receivers with a guy that I've been talking shop with for multiple years.
Forever, yeah.
That's right. And a guy who played the position like myself. So You know, it's always funny because we always have different guys that we like, different traits that we like. And, of course, these three guys that you want to talk about, they're all really good after they get the ball in their hands, right? They have that ability to run with the football. And I know that's something that you love. So
Right. Let's
start right from the top. And, man, I was a little disappointed. We're not going to get into Devin Duvernay because you know that's one of the guys I really like. But
it's
all good.
I just got done watching a little bit more of him today, too, man. I did. In your honor, man, I watched him a little more today.
I appreciate it, man. And that's what happens, right? You always find prospects that you gravitate towards. And he's that guy for me. But these are three guys that you have that I think, you know, are outstanding as well. So let's go. We'll stay right in that conference, right? And we'll go. We ended on Jeff Gladney from TCU. Let's go to Jalen Reagor from TCU. By the way, I don't know if you saw, but he weighed in at 200 pounds. I was surprised that he checked in at 200 pounds.
Right. And he might just be the. When you see a guy gain weight like that, sometimes there are certain guys that become more explosive with more weight they put on. I was that type of guy. The more weight I put on, was more forced to the track. And I think that you're going to see Jalen Reagor do some good things at this combine.
What is it that you like about him?
Well, I mean, we mentioned it off top. He is super explosive. I mean, you noticed that right off at the beginning. And he eats up the cushion super fast. You know, and the guy that can... You see somebody playing off, and right there, they're right up on you. That's panic right there on the DB. You know, any DB will tell you, if, especially if he doesn't match up athletically, mm-hmm. If you get a guy that just all of a sudden he's on you before you can even, you know, blink. That's tough for a DB. That is panic right there. So, you know, you want a guy like that on the outside. For me, I know a lot of people want to see their size on the outside, right? For me, I want my speed on the outside.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, if I can get my speed on the outside, you know, it's just more space for him to maneuver and go do his thing. I don't want my speed on the inside matched up, you know, inside with a lot of, you know, defenders on the inside. It's just too congested and you don't get to utilize the strength of the player. So I feel like with Reagor, he's a guy that, of course, he's going to give you that boost in the return game, you know, and he's one of those, like we talked about with Duvernay, like he's a guy that's going to turn into that running back after the play. Going to make you miss, you know, and he's got that to him. It's not a bunch of shaking and all that, but he knows how to play his angles and adjust to the angles and make sure that, you know, guys can't get a hand on him. The thing that I want to see him do a little bit better is there's at times on crossers, he's not catching the ball with his hands, you know, and that's the thing that I want to see him do a little bit better and focus on, because that can lead to a few drops here and there. If you let the ball hit your body and you get hit, those are drops. So I want to see him, you know, kind of be more of a hands catcher on the crossers.
Yeah, and the other thing with those crossers, and we saw it with A.J. Brown, right? When you catch the ball with your hands and you're confident in your hands, because that's really
right.
Catching with your body. It just means you're not confident fully in your hands, right?
So exactly.
When you catch the ball with your hands and you run through the catch, that's when
right.
You get those yards after the catch. So
that
right. Is an area where they'll definitely need to see some improvement. But that being
right.
said, I mean, I've seen this guy play the slot. I've seen him play outside. I've seen them use him on jet sweeps, all
mm-hmm.
kinds of things. What, like, how do you really maximize Jalen Reagor as a prospect? As, not even as a prospect, as a player on your team?
Right. Right. I mean, it's like you said, you know, it's putting that pressure or taking the top off that defense. Kind of like you know, I don't know if you remember Devery Henderson, right?
Yeah.
You know, that's the kind of usage you want out of that player. Every now and then, you get a jet sweep, you get a reverse here and there, a guy that can be used in the screen game here and there, little bubble screens. Got that going on with him. He can take those to the house. I like him, obviously, going deep. Those bang eight shots, you know,
mm-hmm.
things like that. That's where you want to, you know, utilize this guy. I think that, you know, he's going to have a lot more production in the NFL, because if you look at the quarterback, you know, situation at TCU, it was a lot better in 2018 than it was in 2019 for him. And so, you know, I think that now, you know, if you tie him or, you know, put him with a quarterback that's going to be efficient and get him the ball routinely, he's going to make some big plays in the NFL.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I think one of the other things, and it's the same way, especially with one of the other guys we're going to get into, but when you mention that Bang 8, right? And
right.
The way that opens up space underneath, a guy like Jonnu Smith can really operate. Or again, A.J. Brown, you know, running those digs or those arrow routes, the daggers, et cetera. You have an impact more than just catching the football. I think that's what's so important about a guy like Rager who can stretch the field the way he does.
Right.
So, love this guy. So that's Rager, and I touched on another guy that could stretch the field. And I tell you, I could really see this guy being a Titan because I believe that team has a lot of interest in K.J. Hamler. I know that the GM has been to multiple Penn State games. It could be, you know, for your Tier Gross Matos. Who knows? But I think they like K.J. Hamler, so...
Yeah.
What is it about him that stands out to you?
Suddenness, burst, initial burst, like that stop and start ability. You know, he's got that, got all of that. Another thing about this kid and what I've been told is that, because I know a couple strength trainers over there at Penn State, so I had a chance to talk to a couple coaches about him.
Hmm.
And he's a great leader, not just rah-rah guy. You know, he's just got good energy, and he's a guy that a lot of players gravitate towards. They love this kid. So, you know, it's just and you like to hear those types of reports about a player. So that's number one, good leader. So he's got elite quickness. Another thing that I really liked about him is the kid adjusts to the deep ball exceptionally well. Like a lot of off-target, you know, throws that I saw on film. And, you know, just a little subtle move inside or outside, whatever it is, whether it be having to go up last minute for a ball, all of that. He can do it. So I like this kid a lot. Electric returner. The moves that he can put on the kick and stop on the dime. You know, he knows how to vary his speeds within his routes to kind of create that separation. And you like that to see that. But one thing I would like to see him do, there's times you see these little videos and things like that of guys on the line of scrimmage and you know, making all these little dance moves and all that. Like, it's like, come on, man.
I hate all that chatter at the line of scrimmage. I can't stand it.
It's a little much sometimes. And I'm not saying he does this all the time, but there's a couple occasions I saw on film. It's like, I would like to see him get into his route a little faster. And also from a health perspective, you're a smaller guy, kind of know when that journey is over.
Yeah.
You know? Say, you know, like, you know, we talked to Stephon Diggs about this. A lot of that is what got him hurt, right?
Yeah.
He was battling injury. He's known as kind of an injury-prone player. That's why he slipped in the draft. We saw that he was a number one talent, but can't be hurt all the time. So just from a perspective of conserving your body, knowing when the journey is over on a given play, live to fight another down, go down sometimes. And you don't got to fight everything, just go down.
And that's the thing I was going to ask you about that. How can he compensate or get over? Because he is a smaller guy. That's a
right.
good point. And when you talk about getting rid of that extra chatter at the line and getting into your route quick, I think having a guy like Rob Moore as the coach, I think that will really help.
Oh, that's, absolutely.
That's one of the things I saw with A.J. Brown. Because I remember talking to A.J. This fool was 235 in camp.
Oh, you can see it.
He was 230.
He's a bigger guy, yeah.
I said, so I was like, bro, you okay at that weight? You know what I mean? And he said he needed to get some of it off because the thing was he was having trouble at the top of his routes separating, in addition to not being as sudden off the ball.
Right.
Do you like that in K.J. Hamler, just the way that he's able to separate at the top of his routes?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's big. You know, when you can create that little additional separation and give a guy a little shimmy or shake at the top of the stem, you know, to make it easy on your quarterback, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. I mean, any quarterback is going to vouch for that guy, you know, to be able to throw to and get that guy on the field. You know, so if you can make it easy on your quarterback, more power to you. And he can do that because of his ability to make that little separation, those little moves at the top of routes.
No doubt about it. So everyone knows about Jalen Rager, right? Everybody knows
right.
about K.J. Hamler. We're going
right.
to get into another K.J., and I know that this area that he played football is near and dear to your heart, you know, your home state of Ohio. And
right.
KJ Hill, and I will say this, he made a catch, I think it was the Thursday at the Senior Bowl. He ran just like a speed out, and the quarterback threw it a bit ahead of him before he got his head around. He got it around last second, put that hand up there, and he caught that. It was like one of those ice cream cone catches, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Man, he's somebody to watch. So what's up with KJ Hill? Why is he a guy that you brought up?
He's just one of those polished, nuanced receivers that's going to dominate the slot, I think, because of his savvy and his route running savvy and his just feel for the game. I feel like, see, nobody's going to talk about him now, but I feel like, okay, so if you take this kid and he ends up with a team like the Patriots, everybody says, oh, snap, they got one, right? Because, you know, you put him, you know, in other scenarios with, you know, players that may not be as experienced or a team that may not, you know, utilize them to his strengths. But so you, with the Patriots, you know, they oftentimes, you know, they are confronted with, like, you know, a lot of teams want to play zone against them, right? And then they end up throwing a bunch of stop routes. This guy is the type of player that can find those soft spots. He does a good job of finding those little spots and then presenting his number to the quarterback, and he's always the first one to get around, show the quarterback, hey, here I am, and that's why he ends up leading Ohio State in receptions, in career receptions, because the guy's just always open. He finds a way to get open, and he makes finding completions easy on the quarterback. So he played that coveted H-back role for OSU, right? And that role varies in expression based on the type of player that they have manning it. And it really doesn't go to any one type of player. It's just who can we trust the most. He got that position. And you go ahead and ask Hartline about this kid. You know, and he'll go on and on and on about this kid, because they really didn't have anyone else that they trusted at that spot. This is normally a spot that's split between two players. They gave him all the work. So in the past, you've had guys like Paris Campbell, Curtis Samuel. These guys that are guys that have played in the backfield. Mm-hmm. KJ Hill's just really kind of strictly a receiver. But because of the way he understands leverage, you know, how to get open, we talked about at the top of the house, you know, all of that. Because he was able to do that so well, you know, he's the reason, you know, why, you know, his play was the reason why they were able to put him in that position solely. So, contrary to popular belief, I have heard things, random things people say about his routes aren't detailed enough. It's not, you know, all of that. And I scratched my head. In that system, you got to be detailed. You don't play.
Right. And especially, you know, for that coach, you know.
Hartline. You know, Hartline's not playing no games, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, and so that's why I kind of scratch my head when I see some of the evaluations with KJ Hill. But, you know, there's a reason why a guy like that led his, you know, he leads Ohio State now in receptions for his career. You know, and I feel like it'd be egregious for any team to kind of overlook this kid because he doesn't have the overwhelming physical attributes. He doesn't have great speed. He doesn't have great size. But this guy just is open, and you want that on your team.
That's unbelievable that he's let. We're talking about Chris Carter. We're talking, hey, you know, Terry right. Glenn is, rest in peace, is near and dear to my heart, man.
Right.
You know, Terry we're Glenn. Talking about Joe
Brookhaven's
Galloway.
Columbus, Ohio. Yeah.
Yeah. That's something. So if you look at all of this, right, of these three guys, who do you feel would fit in best with the group that has Corey Davis and A.J. Brown and Adam Humphries? Who would fit in best, and Jonathan Smith at tight end? Who's the best guy out of these three to fit in? And if you don't feel that the best overall out of all the receivers is these guys, I would want to know who that is as well.
Right. So it's funny you say that, because I feel like, you know, if you want a guy that's just going to move the chains for you, I feel like I think that's more so what the Titans do need at this juncture, is a guy that's just going to be able to settle in those zones and make it easy on the quarterback. I think that's KJ Hill. But I will say this. If you're looking for a guy that can get vertical down the field and lift the top off that defense, I was watching your boy today in Duvernay, and I really like what he brings to the table. So I would love to see the Titans draft him, because that's going to add that excitement, you know, that kind of athleticism that you need out there on the flanks. He can play in the slot too. So, and he's got versatility. He's got some position versatility, because I saw him, you know, get a couple carries at running back, you know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he can do those things as well. So, if you see a guy like Johnny Smith getting carries too. So, those when you have players that can wear multiple hats like that, the better off you'll be. So, if you're asking me out of those three guys, I would say KJ Hill. But at the same time, if you're looking to add an element of explosiveness and position flexibility, I would like to see Duvernay in that offense.
Hey, look, I wouldn't be mad at all. Well, I already got the head start on everybody. You know, he comes here, so that goes to the Titans. That would be perfect.
Right.
Man, this has been an awesome, awesome opportunity to, you know, talk some shop, man. We definitely have to do this more. Folks,
definitely.
You heard it, right? It doesn't get much more detailed and precise than this. Brandon, where can they follow you on Twitter? Because you keep the takes flowing on there, too.
I appreciate it, man. It's BHoward_81 on Twitter.
That's my guy, B. Howard, a.k.a. Dash Diallo. I wasn't going to let you slip without that. So I appreciate you, man. We'll get you back on soon.
Sounds like a plan to me.
This is Derrick Henry. You're now talking with TD.
Yeah, that's one of those songs you just nod your head to. That's right, that's right. Talking with TD, definitely feel like we had an awesome show today. Brandon Howard, boy, I tell you what, he brought it. We got into Ryan Tannehill. We got into cornerbacks. We got into receivers. Outstanding opportunity to talk some shop with him. And just as we get into this whole free agency period, I tell you, there's a lot that is going on as far as this Titans team. You know, we'll see what happens with this CBA, if that's going to allow the Titans to still use both tags, the transition and franchise tag. We'll see if they even have to do it, right? Because who knows? Maybe they could get a deal with Tannehill done and Derrick Henry. Boy, I tell you what, though, this Jack Conklin deal. Man, I'm not sure exactly what they're going to be able to do if Conklin does not come back to Nashville. The Jets, the Giants, maybe even the Dolphins could be some teams that will invest in him. But at the same time, it is draft season, right? And the draft is your opportunity to get less expensive and get younger. Not that Jack Conklin is old. He's 25 years old, and he's a guy, you guys know what I've said, I feel like he's someone that you really have to bring back. But the dollars don't always make sense, and that could possibly be what the Titans are facing with that right tackle. So that being said, if they do have to replace Conklin, in my opinion, I think it's going to take a combination of things. I think what the Titans need to do, if Conklin is not re-signed, I think Dennis Kelly should automatically be re-signed, because you know he's going to be less expensive, obviously. And when I say less expensive, I'm not talking about less than Conklin. You know, I'm talking about less expensive than most of the free agents that will be out there. So I think he's a guy that, you know, you could bring back. You know that he could play in your scheme and give you a serviceable right tackle. But then at the same time, I think guys in the draft that come into play, Josh Jones from Houston, the left tackle who plays some right tackle, 310 pounds. You know, he would be in play at pick number 29. And then you look in the second round, Isaiah Wilson out of Georgia. This is a mammoth of a guy, 6'7", 340. Watched him a bit against LSU. And, you know, it's – there's going to be some things that have to be cleaned up. I'll say that much. But at the same time, you know, this is a team that they are built to win now, you know. So that's why signing Dennis Kelly would be good. Another guy, Lucas Niang, he's someone else out of TCU, very athletic, 6'7", 328. So these are some guys that could be in play. I think Niang and Jones would be in play in the first round.
Some people like Austin Jackson out of USC. I'm a little bit more inclined to go Jones or Niang. I just feel like their athleticism it really suits the zone scheme. So we're going to get into that a little bit more. I'm going to work to have both of these guys on the show. I owe you another offensive lineman. And speaking of those guys that have been on the show, Alex Taylor at South Carolina State, you know, he's a left tackle slash right tackle that has been on. So we'll keep it rolling. Until then, I appreciate each of you tuning in. Be sure to go to Google Podcasts, Spotify, iTunes. Go ahead and subscribe for me. Hit that 5-star rating as well. Be sure to go to ESPN.com, click the NFL page, click Teams, and then Titans. Go ahead and subscribe to that. Look, man, this is what we do. Full season, draft, free agency. The Titans are raring to go, so be sure to stay tuned. I appreciate each of you guys for listening. Thanks, God bless, and good night.